You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, the DTIC recently published a revised version of their 100 billion rand transformation fund proposal. This was discussed by the Minister, of course, of the DTIC, that is Minister Park Stow. And following that, there seems to be a bit more clarity around what this new and improved transformation fund could potentially look like. We're going to be taking a look at this in a bit more detail. I'm joined on the line by the CEO of Unconventional CA, Hiten Keshav, to take a look at this and see what to make of it. Hiten, lovely to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start the conversation perhaps with what the new improvements are. I know that the document has been very difficult to come by in the public spaces, and so we might not cover all of the adjustments and proposed changes, but can you give us a sense of what it is that you've been picking up on?
Jimmy, thank you for having me on the show. In actual fact, the improvements really just relate around governance matters and how the government is trying to state that they're going to have independent parties on the board to have administration and oversight over this fund, and so that there's an independent viewpoint to avoid any forms of discrepancies arising in how that money is managed itself. Beyond that, it's very, I would say, vague in terms of what this fund is actually going to do and how it's actually going to benefit the impact of small businesses and our economy itself.
Now, some of the conversations that we've had around this particular transformation fund have centered around, as you alluded to, where the funds are going to be deployed, how they're going to be deployed. But one of the conversations that we have almost had quite quietly is the fact that at the end of the day, this will still remain a centralized fund that will be distributed the same way or in a similar manner to how some of the other centralized funds are currently managed by the government. Is this model, this setup, the best way to go about with this particular fund?
I certainly don't think so in that regard. If you look at it on what the objective of this fund is, essentially it's telling you that if you're a corporate citizen and you want your BEE points for enterprise and supply development, drop a pool of cash into this fund, we'll give you your points, and Bob's your uncle, and move forward on that end. What that is essentially doing is taking away accountability behind the true essence of what transformation and BEE actually stands for from an empowerment perspective. Now, if you look at the challenges this country is facing right now, unemployment, youth unemployment sitting over 45%, our total unemployment sitting at around 33%. There's this big hoorah that small businesses drive new job creation. Now, handing this over and creating no accountability in the hands of corporates to actually be good corporate citizens from an ESG and SDG perspective and really empowering our small economy on that end, how are we actually going to truly transform all these challenges our country has, knowing the current economic state our country currently sits in? And if you just look at our economic activity in the markets itself, compared now to last year itself, look at the confidence our economy had and how the markets rallied last year. Take the retail sector, for example. Just to remove gold, platinum, all the precious metals. Our growth in our economy in the markets is sitting probably around 5-6% excluding that. Now ask yourself, is government really going to then take 100 billion rand and really resolve and resurrect what's going on here?
Hiten, I want to take a look at the other side of the conversation that I've had a couple of these conversations where there isn't a lack of willingness to participate in the transformation fund. There's not a lack of willingness from a commitment perspective to say we will commit the 3% or whatever it is. There's more a concern around deployment, implementation, and how the funds will be used. How then do we start to draft a framework that is acceptable not just to those that are contributing towards the fund, but as a framework that actually speaks to the transformative nature of what we're trying to achieve here?
I think you use a good word there, framework. And one of the biggest things that's missing when it comes to these type of implementations, especially in the enterprise and supply development sector, is monitoring and evaluation. There's no systematic framework that can diagnose where entrepreneurs are, okay, after that, what are the development areas that need to be focused on? What solutions now need to be provided? How are those solutions now transforming those entrepreneurs' businesses and growing and scaling them? In today's dynamic and landscape, none of that measurement indicators are there. And I think if we have a proper framework and a measurement tool, whether it be a digital platform or something that guides implementation providers on how that is implemented, then we will have a clear, transparent overview on what is taking place, whether money is being provided in the form of soft loans to these SMMEs and being recouped back, whether the money is being implemented in the form of training and interventions to help upskill these businesses so that they can become investment-ready and grow and scale their businesses. And I believe if that part formulates into that framework and into that document a lot more clearly and logically, it'll allow for greater transparency. Furthermore to that, the biggest question you're going to ask is, from a government perspective, if you're going to have 100 billion rand, how are you going to choose your service providers, knowing that this has been ongoing for about more than two decades now? Who are the service providers that you're going to hold key that have been on the ground dealing with these entrepreneurs on a day-to-day basis, knowing what the challenges are, to then guide and educate and help them make best use of that funds in the way that's going to yield the right results economically?
Hey, Ted, before I let you go, and at the risk of sounding a lot more negative than what I actually am, I firmly believe this transformation fund has the potential to do an immense amount of good. We have, as a country, come out of repeated commissions of inquiry for things that didn't go as planned, and hopefully this is not another one of those scenarios at the end of the day, because it's the last thing that we can afford. That being said, how do we then ensure that from a deployment perspective or from a consultation perspective or where whatever perspective we're looking at it from, how do we ensure that we avoid repeating the mistakes of the past?
Well, I think my view is if we could have something similar to how the B20s with an open collaborative stakeholder engagement with parties that are already involved in the sector and everyone is allowed to have their contribution and part and play in it, both from a private sector and public sector perspective, I think then we can certainly say all parties have had their say and there's a viewpoint collectively around what should be done. I don't think you're wrong in that it can transform and really do good things. I'm just concerned that in the hands in which it is handled, this doesn't become a network of pals hiring pals, for a better word, and ends up being a commission inquiry that we have to go through 5 years down the line.
Hiten, would there be benefit in potentially outsourcing the entire fund, managing it independently of whether it's the private sector, the public sector? Would there be any merit towards exploring that perspective, or does it require, much like what we've been seeing, public-private participation and partnership to ensure that accountability goes beyond just the conversation and actually translates into the fund?
So I don't think there's no merit in outsourcing the fund, but then it makes no difference to what the current BE codes allows for. In some cases, you'll find corporate entities provide interest or deploy the ESD funds to capital managers who then deploy those funds to small businesses. So in that instance, there's no difference in the model itself. I think what the government is trying to do here, in my honest opinion, is probably try and get this money into to help resolve certain pressures that they are facing financially with their budget constraints currently, and find a loop around this to utilize to effectively handle certain departmental budgets that need to be handled over a period of time on that end. So I guess we're sitting in a chicken and egg situation where you go private, it can be possible. But it makes no difference to how the BE codes currently provide for that anyway.
I suppose this is why that framework is important, to unpack what it is that we're going to be doing here and what ring fencing we're going to be doing for these funds. We're going to have to wait and see how this shapes up. For now, I suppose we still have a lot more questions than answers around the Transformation Fund. We're going to have to leave this conversation on that note. However, thanks so much to the Chief Executive Officer of Unconventional CA, Hiten Keshev, for joining us to take a look at the revised transformation fund that has been put forward by the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.